Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It is Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved Fadilatul Senior Respected Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Well, it's the 24th of June 2020, which is also the 2nd of Dhul Qa'dah 1441. I want to welcome all my beloved beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company, and of course our beloved engineer this morning, Brother Tobella. Our WhatsApp number 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number 0847863132. International overseas listeners +27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad early this Wednesday morning, part two of the Bliss of Marriage between now to 12 o'clock. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, I don't think this question is regarding the nikah. It says, Mufti Saab, I heard that when paying our laborer, we can make a niyyah for sadaqah. Is this correct, Ustad?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu ma'arufin sadaqah, that every good deed is charity. So the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, and various compilations. So similarly, when we are paying our staff, our employees, our domestic, whatever, so if you are putting a few cents extra, a few rands extra, you are putting something extra, and you make intention of sadaqah, so that's very, very good. However, if you are underpaying them, then so that's wrong also. So remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu Allah taught us the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, A'atul ajira ajrahu qabla ay yajifa araquhu, that pay the employee and the worker before their perspiration gets dried. Meaning that whatever the agreement is, daily, weekly, monthly, you must pay them on time. You see, sometimes people delay. So remember, people have their commitments and so forth and so on. So remember, Islam is based on justice. If it told husband ABC, then it told wife XYZ. If it told employer ABC, then it told the employee XYZ. So in that way that all the time you will find that guidelines, directives are given not to one party only, but to both parties. And if both parties do so, then there will be harmony, there will be peace and tranquility.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, my parents passed away. We are a brother and sister and has received our shares accordingly. Ustad, is it my brother's job to look after and support me? We are both not married. Ustad,
you must remember that you don't say anything about your mummy, so we'll assume that she passed away before. So if you, now your father passed away, there's only one son and one daughter, so two-thirds will go to the son and one-third will go to the daughter. And obviously all of you, both of you, have to ensure that regarding your father's estate, and similarly if your mother also passed away, you must ensure that the burial expenses are paid, the debts of the deceased are paid, and both type of debts, whether it is personal debts, corporate business debts, and wasiya is for non-heirs, remember that, maximum one-third. And the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So in that way there, inshallah, then everything will be fine. Second thing both you and your brother should be doing is learn this verse, Surah 14 verse 41, Rabbana ighfir li ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. So read that and give out charity also on behalf of your parents and so forth. Now we assume you and your brother are in your 20s. Your brother is 27, 30, 29 and you 21, 22, 23. So whose responsibility is it now to look after you? Yes, it is your brother's responsibility. Father passed away, now the owner's responsibility will be upon him. For example, tomorrow, a good proposal comes for you, and now he must now look at all the pros and the cons and what have you, and then he will be your wali, and he gives permission, then you get married, you must remember that. And so he is responsible for your welfare now, although you already collected your inheritance and your share, so that's fine, there's no problem with that. And both of you must give zakat also. Remember on the inheritance that you received.
Somebody says, Ya Ustaz, that my brother wants to marry my enemy and wants us all to live together in the same house till he settles down. He doesn't even have a job, Ustaz, as yet. Is this a recipe for disaster, Ustaz?
You must remember that if your brother doesn't have a job, so how can he bring somebody else's daughter, sister in the house? And they will be fighting all the time because the new bride, the new wife will say she wants this, she wants that. And then he will be taking loans from you here and there. So obviously that is a recipe for disaster. And then if you're going to live with y'all, then there'll be bigger problems and so forth. So y'all must say that no, and you must inform. What you all need to do is inform the girl's family and the girl's party that remember your brother doesn't have a job and is not stable, and you know he doesn't have a house in this sense, his own house, and if she's going to come here, then this will be big problems. So in that way, you can save yourself from harm, save herself from harm as well, and Islamically there will be no sin upon you. Remember many a time people, they confuse certain issues, ghibat and backbiting. That you take the name of your brother or sister, you speak something bad about them behind their back and what have you. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, or as the ulama said, zikrul aib in dal ghaib. So you speak about some weakness or some sin that person does and behind his back and so forth. But if you are going to save somebody's life, you're going to save somebody's reputation, you're going to, somebody ask me, how is that family there? So I tell them, you know what, if it's my son, my daughter, I would just say no. We don't have to go into the details, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, all that. So that is sufficient, so the person will understand. So Islamically, that will not only be permissible, but is highly recommended and desirable to do so, so that that person does not go through difficulty in their life because of our silence and so forth. So you study hadith. So in hadith we have the chain of reporters. This reporter narrated from this one, this one. So they said, Huwa Siqatun, he's very reliable. Huwa a Wadda'un, he fabricates hadiths. Huwa Kazabun, he's a liar. So to tell the people, never narrate and report from these people. Yeah, they are fabricating and lying and so forth. All that was done for protection of deen and protection of hadith, so that we know which one is authentic and which one is spurious and fabricated. So therefore, when we're saving people from calamities, so that would be totally permissible.
He says, yes, sir, can I marry a Muslim man? I am a devout Christian, Ustad.
So you must remember that, sister, for you to marry a Muslim male will not be permissible, because you must remember you will have to embrace Islam first. Islam, see whether it's a Muslim lady. If you are a Muslim man, male, and now the Muslim lady will marry you, so that also will be haram. And if you are the Christian lady and you want to marry the Muslim man, that also is not permissible. Simple example I'm giving you. Why does Islam say we don't allow these things here? Because you must remember, after 1 year, 2 years, you start having children. So what message are you going to give your child? So there will be cross message. The one party is Muslim, the one party is Christian. So you will speak about Jesus as Son of God. The other party, Muslim, will speak of Jesus as the Prophet, peace be upon him. So already we're going to be having a disaster regarding the cross messages going to the child and children that are coming. Second one is that you will want to worship. So maybe you bring the crucifix, the cross and all that day in your house. And if the person is not really a devoted, committed Christian, then he might want to bring wine, dine and swine also in the house. So all these are logistical nightmare for the person. So therefore, it would not be permissible, remember, for a Muslim to marry a Christian or Christian to marry a Muslim. Islam wants in marriage, there must be unity of thought. And unity of thought means Muslim marry Muslim. And Christian, they can marry who you want to. You can marry your Lutheran, Protestant, and Catholic, and whoever you want to, you're happy with. So yes, you prepare to embrace Islam. You denounce all that what they believe in. So then you embrace Islam, and then you get married to a Muslim. Totally permissible, no problem.
It's Sister Raina, Ustad. She says, thank you so much. Somebody says, yeah, Ustad, that I am 18 years old. Can I delay my marriage till I'm 25, Ustad? I'm engaged to a lovely boy who wants to marry me this year. He does not have a job to support us, Ustad.
First and foremost, you're 18 and you want to delay till 25 years old. So it means 7 years. Another, how many viruses will come and how many problems will come? So God only knows, Allah alone knows. And in the interim, what will you all do? You will be chatting, you will be meeting, you will be doing all that. You say that you are already engaged. So how you got engaged when a man doesn't have a job and so forth? So all this is haram and so forth. You must remember this business of getting engaged and then prolonging 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and yeah, you're speaking of 7 years, definitely haram and not permissible. Because people today think that engagement is a license for smooching, touching, kissing, and WhatsApping, speaking, dating, all that is haram, remember that. Islam, everything we want must be pure and chaste, no hanky-panky business. So that is what Islam is teaching.
Ustad, it says here, Mufti Saab, what is the Islamic way to punish our wives who don't obey us, Ustad?
So you must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala showed you the manner method in the Noble Quran. When you, the husband, are a good husband, not that you also got other one upside down things. So when you are trying your best, you're living Islam and so forth, but the wife don't want to read Salat, she don't want to dress modestly, she don't want to do anything, basically, you understand, to enhance the marriage and so forth. She just wants to go shopping every day, or she just wants, you must remember, that in a case like that, what she must do, give her money, and then she can go around, moving around. So Quran Kareem taught us, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَوَفُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. Those wives that you fear, that their rebelliousness, disrespect from their side. Now they don't want to listen, she don't want to read Salat, she want to walk around with a miniskirt, yeah, there, everywhere. فَإِذُوهُنَّ. So first give them advice. When you analyze the word in the Quran, فَإِذُوهُنَّ, it means wa'az. Wa'az means tarqiqul qulub, that you must speak to her in a manner that is her heart starts melting. So you must remember that the heart starts melting. And you don't speak to her in front of others. You speak to her in privacy because it's husband-wife issue. She don't want to listen and all that. She become more stubborn and all. وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. Separate the bed. Separate the bed don't mean now you go sleep here in this room and they go sleep in that room. Then you show the children there's so much rows and ructions in the marriage. No. It means you withhold the conjugal rights. You don't fulfill the conjugal rights. 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, like that. So she must know that you are upset. Therefore, you don't want to come nearer to her and so forth. Third one, wadribuhun. Wadribuhun don't mean you come with a belt and a stick and it's totally haram, all that. In Islam, wife battering, assaulting, totally haram. Everywhere this happens today, 101 times I receive questions. I say, leave all the ulama out, we don't have any authority. So go straight to the police and lay a charge against him. So you must remember that. So that is what you have to do when the husband does that. So what does this wadribuhun mean? It means you take a ruler or a miswak and tap on her hand. So that is, today they call things that is shock therapy. So you must, no marks, no scars, no nothing. So that are the three steps you got mentioned. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 34. Number one, speak to her in a kind, polite manner. Number two, withhold the conjugal rights. Three, that you use the miswak or a ruler, just tap the hand lightly and that. And still things don't. Now, these three measures are between husband and wife. But things are going from bad to worse. So Almighty Allah says in the next verse, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 35, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. And if you fear that now the marriage will break, you're on the verge of divorce, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Appoint arbitrators. Arbitrator from her side and from your side. So now you bring in outside help as a fourth step. And see, even at the 11th hour, what Allah is saying. Iyurida islaha. If both the arbitrators enter the meeting and consultation with this intention to bring about reconciliation, yuwaffiqillahu bainahuma. Allah Ta'ala will guide them. So therefore, Islam is there to save the marriages and not to break the marriage. And that doesn't work, then only step number 5, al-marhalatul khamisa, then you speak of divorce and so forth. So what our men are doing today, remember, is a travesty of justice. Number one, they just start shooting like the gun, you know, take a bang, 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 they already give 3 talaq. So people like that, you must give them a good punishment, but remember, all 3 talaqs will be valid as well.
Ustad, my in-laws, they talk about my husband's ex-wife when I am around, and this hurts me, Ustad.
Obviously, that you need to tell your husband that how can they be doing this? This is now being inconsiderate, and this is something that they want you to burn or get jealous and so forth. So if she was so good and all that, then why their son gave, you must remember, talaq and divorce and so forth. So they, you, but you must not get tangled with them. Sometime in life, you mustn't speak directly because that will cause more problems and so forth. So you must tell your husband, and the husband must tell his mother, his sister, whoever else is there in the house. We're making all these stories and all this type of thing. That's the best way to solve the problem.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that does my wife have to obey all my commands? If I don't allow her to visit her parents, because every time I let her go, Ustad, they put things in her head against me, causing us to fight. So, can I refuse her to visit them? I don't visit them because they have an interdict against me, Ustad.
Remember that in Islam, we can't say that everything the husband says that the wife must listen. Innamat ta'atu fil ma'aruf. Only those things that are permissible. Today the husbands, they want the wives to do 101 haram things. So they want, you must wear, she must wear this kind of clothing, and her body must be exposed, or they want she must cut her hair and look like beauty queen or something like that. So obviously all that is haram. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation. When any creation, whether it's father, mother, husband, wife, whoever, when it leads to a sin against the creator. That's the golden maxim, the golden teaching principle in Islam, and is authentic in Mishkat Sharif and in Musnad Ahmad. So we should understand all these type of things of Islam. Thereafter, you must remember that the visiting issue, now they have taken an interdict. You see, it's very easy that you send us a message that you say that your father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, they took out an interdict against you, meaning that you can't go to their house. But now I have to sit here as an independent observer and a person who has to be fair to all parties. So I will pose a question to you. No person in their right mind will take out an interdict against you unless you did something also. So what did you do to them? you really let them go over the bend, you know. Maybe you hit them or threaten them, or you told them you're going to go to the police, or something crazy must have happened. So they got fed up and then they got the interdict against you. So now you can't use that and say that you won't allow her to go to her parents' place. So that will be qat'ur rahim. You are then severing the family ties. So in a case like that, you also must be fair. So once in 3 months, once in 6 months, once a year, depending how far, how near you are. So let her go to her parents' place and so forth and so on. So that will soften their heart and they can remove the interdict and so forth. So brother, we can't say that who's right and who's wrong. In these type of issues, I always say the best way to start is you also wrong, she's also wrong, your in-laws also wrong. So when you all agree we are wrong, so let us ask one another forgiveness and then we go on forward. Look at present and look at future. Don't go backwards. You're going to go back into the history, then you again, the whole rigmarole will start again. So forget the history and carry on with the geography.
So Ustad, what happens if your ex-wife remarries and she has kids? Does the kids become the real brothers and sisters or step, Ustad?
So you must remember that when you had children from her, meaning from your first wife, let's just call her that.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a son and a daughter. And thereafter, Allah forbid, your marriage turned, you know, sour and what have you. So he, that person, gave a talaq. Thereafter, 1 year, 6 months, whatever, the iddat finished. So now that lady got married. Now from her second husband. So she got other children there and all that. So what will happen? Yes, they all will be brothers, sisters, but you must remember that those who came from the second husband and those who came from the first husband, they will be called akhun li ummin and ukhtun li ummin. What does that mean? Uterine brother, uterine sister. They share the same mother, but they don't share the same father. So, but they will be considered as brother, sister. In simple English, that if I say akhun li ummin, ukhtun li ummin, it's Arabic, it's too difficult. And if I tell you uterine brother, uterine sister, that also you can remember. Simple English, you say half brother, half sister from the mother's side. So yes, there's no parada and all that between them because they came from the same mother. So therefore, they will be considered as brothers and sisters.
084-786-3132. I am zakatable, Mufti Saab. Can my wife give her zakat to me? Her zakat?
No, you can't give. You must remember that you can't give the zakat in the family. Husband give wife, wife give husband. Not permissible, all that. Zakat must be given to poor Muslim people. Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 60. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions the 8 categories of people who are entitled to receive zakat. Now what's going to happen, hypothetically, just for argument's sake? You will be sitting there on your laurels and thinking of Hadi, and you say, this is Aitabo Haru. You will say in your vernacular, your language, Aitabo Haru Che. Let me just keep on sitting on the chair here, and my wife will keep on giving me zakat and so forth. So remember, it's not permissible. You, the husband, you must go and work. And don't say, no, I tried and tried. But now you're sitting there on your laurels, and your wife is working. Now, how do we justify that? In Islam, that is haram, that the husband must go and work. Work, and the wife must stay at home, not the other way around. So we must remember, yes, if the husband remember that he's got some sickness or something, that's different then. But according to you, you seem to be a very healthy person, so you're just waiting for the zakat to come and then you can go a little bit shopping and doing here and there. So no, it's not permissible, brother.
I see the mother is sad, Ustad. This is Ummi Zinat. She says, dear respected Mufti Saab, my daughter is a graduate student. She has 7 A's. She went to varsity. And today, Mufti Saab, she has forgotten about us, who paid all her expenses. She now wants to get married. Can we reject her proposals? Ummi Zina, to start.
So you must remember that, but who's to blame, O Ummi? That are you to blame, or is she to blame, or is her father to blame? Let us make this a case study. Interesting question. We have a daughter, and when she was in primary school, she excelled. She came out first, second. Then we said, no, let her go to high school. So she came out again. She became the prefect, and she became this, and so forth. And Allah alone knows nowadays what terms they use. So you must remember, and thereafter, she got 7 A's and whatever. You said, no, now she must go and study. So she became a doctor, a dentist, an engineer, a computer scientist, and lot of things, half the terms we don't even understand. We can't even pronounce it properly, some of this. So anyway, now she's 20, 22, 24, 25 years old. But now, because that knowledge came to her, she got no time for y'all. The parents, she looks down upon y'all because y'all not sophisticated. She knows how to use a computer. She knows all the latest graphs and this and all these type of things. So now she wants to get married. So out of spite now, y'all say we're going to say no. But who is to blame? You paid for everything. So when I told you that, 100 times I'm telling you all, never send your daughters to university, and now you see the price you have to pay. So you must remember that the more secular studies they get, so the further they go away from Deenul Islam. What good is that studies for a daughter or a son even, when he or she does not have any time for the parents? That parents who brought you up, that parents who made every sacrifice, and because you studied and you got in your head, she's already big horn she grew. I'm a 7A, I pass, and now I'm a graduate, I pass with distinction, Kamlo Dei, as they call it, you know. So all these type of things. So who's to blame? So the primary blame will be on you, father, mother. Jo karega wo barega. So you must remember, you plant something, carrots, then you don't expect cabbage to come out. So you must remember that. So you all did this, and now you're seeing the response of it. So what you need to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with her and tell her this pride and arrogance of hers, and second one, depriving herself of her du'as of her parents, was a recipe for disaster for herself. Her marriage will not work out. Her children and she will have a lot of problems and so many things. From now, she must start making sincere tawbah, repenting, ask you, the parents, for forgiveness. And then if and when good proposal come, then wholeheartedly you get married. But Allah Ta'ala, the doors of tawbah and repentance are open. But the more you carry on like this, she tells you all, go fly a kite. And you all say, now what can we do? Then remember, all of you, all three, the vicious triangle. Father, mother, daughter, all three parties are guilty. That's why I don't know you. But when we tell you certain things, say, this person here is speaking of the stone ages, you know, dark ages and this type of things here. So the stone ages and dark ages is better than our age now, where our daughters will get married, but now she loses her haya, where she lost the sense of responsibility. She has got no time for her parents. Sometimes they lose their virginity. Sometimes they lose their whole Islam. They leave Islam and go join some other thing. So think properly what we are doing, brother. Therefore, Quran says, Surah 66, verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your children from the fire. Hadith Bukhari Sharif, the most authentic hadith compilation. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyah. Every one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you will be questioned regarding your flock. I got 3 sons, 4 daughters, whatever example I'm giving. So is my children. I will be questioned about them. So remember that input, output. So what did we give them? So think properly. So you'll need to have a heart-to-heart chat, and all of you have to make sincere tawbah.
I see Sister Umi Zinat's husband, Ustad, messaged Brother Adil. He says that the dear respected Mufti Sab, she was always obedient to us. She was an obedient child, and we trusted the Mufti Sab.
That's the thing. But you see, when you go out in a toxic environment, when she was at home, then you must remember she was obedient, everything. When she went there, they saw this is very good. Whether we go class or not in university, they don't have time to mark register and thus and all this type of thing. You come, you don't come, you must just pay, finish and class. So now that is the free life. So you must remember this type of things. Yeah? So when she got used to the free life, she got free used to the secular system and all that. So the more and more she did that, so then the adab and the respect and everything and your rights as parents, all that got eroded and thrown out of the window. So that's why. Because why? I gave you the example 100 times. Today when we tell you regarding your daughters, you sending them out in the rain and then you say, Maulana, that make dua, she don't get wet. Now, you tell me, how can that happen? You must get impacted negatively, you must remember. What things are happening in the universities nowadays? There's drugs there, there's boyfriend, girlfriend there, there's atheists there, and there's 101 things going on. And there's nothing Islamic. Let us be honest about these type of things here. They maybe read Jummah Salat and so forth and so on. So you need to be very careful. Therefore, Islamically, in this day and this age, and speaking especially our countries and all, is definitely not permissible for our daughter, sister to go to university. Whatever your intention is.
Ustad, let's go to Mayfair. Mayfair West, a sister needs advice. She says, Mufti Sahab, my son has a brain tumor because he is very short-tempered. My daughter's proposal was rejected. She's a normal girl with no defects, Ustad. We're not ashamed of our son. But what do we do? It's the 7th drop proposal because of my son, Ustad.
So your son has got this tumor.
Ji, Ustad, the brain tumor.
Yeah, you must remember that in today's Wazamana, what's going to happen is this kind of words, they'll travel from here right to Hong Kong. You also must remember that. So my advice to you, once there's a brain tumor, then you don't blame the girl's family that to say no, whether it's in South Africa or any other country or so forth. So why don't you go for operation and so forth and do the treatment, and thereafter then you can be honest and say there was a problem. Alhamdulillah, we went for ilaj and treatment and so forth and so on. And so you see, when you speak of this tumor and whatever, brain tumor, so what will happen? Let's say hypothetically that girl's family say yes, okay, you take my daughter and you get married in. Year 1-2 years down the line, maybe there's 1-2 children also that he passes away. So now what happens to my daughter? What happens to my grandchildren and all these type of things? So you can't be blaming. Let us be honest. I sit here as an independent observer and then we pass our verdicts. So you must remember that you can't be blaming people. Yes, now look at him, he refused. Look at him, they refused. Look at them. My boy is so good. And nobody is saying your boy is not good. But your boy also got a brain tumor. And therefore, the parents will be reluctant to give their daughter. You must understand that. So I want to help you across the journey for your son. Your son is 20, 25. How long will he live? We don't know. So you must remember. My own brother, he passed away in 2002. So I was there in Aqsa and all that, and then I came back. And I cut long story short. Then they told me that he's got, you know, a tumor and this and this. So when I spoke to the doctor, he was an African doctor. Mm-hmm. What a gentleman he was, you know. Mm. He even did us a favor, you know. Mm. I told him to give me 1 hour. I want to pray, get the family and we pray. He said, I give you 4 hours, 5 hours. I'll come back. And then after all, he was such a gentleman. So anyway, the point I'm making is, to cut long story short, is this. So when I spoke, you know, there's the time I learned these words here, prognosis and all that. So I asked the doctors, and then what was the prognosis and all these type of things here? So they said that he's got some tumor and the brain tumor and it burst and does and does. And we just mean, yeah, we don't understand half the things. So anyway, you must remember, so sometime that son of yours can live for 50, 60, 80 years. But sometime he can just live for another 6 months. So therefore, I'm telling you. It is in your interest. Every father, mother is concerned. They want their son, their daughter to settle down. So why not you go and take the necessary treatment for him and everything. And then inshallah, you make dua for him. That Allah Ta'ala open the doors for him. Never Ameen. Lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And you, son, remember daily read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen, Ustad. Yes, Surah 25, verse 74. Am I right, Ustad G? Surah 25, verse 74. Let's go, inshallah, for an interval. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM, we will, inshallah, continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
16 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's a bit warm on the bliss of marriage here in the land of Asia. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that what is the ruling in Islam, you know, Shariat and wise, if a person says that she has a Muslim, Ustad, the ruling, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We say that we have to ask the person who's making that statement. If it is from the public, the masses and all that, they don't understand much and all these type of things. So there the verdict will be different. And if it is a scholar, a person who knows everything, but maybe he's getting money, or maybe he's interested in a Shia girl, or maybe there's some ulterior motive, so the verdict will be different. So let us now analyze it. You see, and therefore, we also must bring another dimension to this regarding the Shias. If you just go back 50 years, we're in 2020 now, right? So if you just go, you know, 1979 was the revolution and all that. Till that time there, so we're looking at 50 years, you must remember, and all these type of things there. So 40, 50 years and all that before. So you must remember, in a case like that, you could hardly lay your hands on the Shia books. They were all hidden and so forth and so on. Now with the internet, the explosion took place and everything. They themselves, you must remember, are promoting their books so much because they have become so bold. If you just look at the politics of the Arab countries, you will see Iran. So Iran, you must remember, is majority Shia. And you take Iraq, even in Saddam Hussein's time. So for Saddam, you can say Rahimahullah, he passed away Shaheed. You must remember that. So we say he passed away Shaheed. So he always stood up for it. He committed major sins. That means his place. We don't say no. But he died with Iman. Remember, he was reading Kalima when they executed him and all. So anyway, so he's Muslim, he's Sunni, and he passed away Zulman. So in Islam, you call such people Shaheed. So you can say Rahimahullah. He's Saddam Hussein. I'm Abdul Qadir Hussein. He don't mean my uncle or anything. So anyway, that was Sunni. But no Shia could make a move. They knew that they would be in big trouble. Then, so today, Iraq is in their possession. Then you go to the side, Lebanon, the Hezbollah. Is Hezbo Shaitan, actually. Like Yusuf Qardawi said, Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi said, they're Hezbo Shaitan. They're not Hezbollah. So it's also in their possession. Yemen also is in their possession. So slowly, slowly, you must remember. Bahrain also, these problems. So anyway, you must remember that is Syria is theirs also. Bashar Assad. Wallahi, I got Quran in my hand. Bashar Assad is 110% kafir. And his father, whole lot of them, you must remember, Hafiz Assad. The amount of Sunnis they have murdered, and the amount of children and women they raped and so forth. Allah, Allah. You know, 50 years ago, our Ustad and them left Syria because of all these shaitans, their father and their policy, you must remember, they in Makkah, Medina. Anyway, so... So you have to explain to that person regarding the Shias, the public, you know, ordinary man, person in the street.
Mm-hmm.
We say 114 chapters in the Noble Quran, and you must remember 6,236 verses. They say that in Usulul Kafir written by Kulaini, which is their most authentic book, 17,000 verses in the Quran. So you ask them, now where's the other verses? They tell you is there in the cave by the last imam, and this type of things. You ask them about Sahaba, they say Sahaba, Allah Allah forbid, Allah forbid, became murtad, 90%. They denounced Islam. So therefore they curse and they swear, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir and Muawiyah, all of them, and not only them, 90% of Sahaba. Third one, Hadith, they reject. All this we quote, Bukhari, Muslim, they only use it when it suits their agenda and so forth. So therefore, when you explain to that person, but there's nothing, Kalima also we don't agree, Azan we don't agree, Salat we don't agree, nothing we agree on. So what, which type of Muslim they are? So after you explain that person there, so you must remember, and still he says that no, and you show him in their books and everything. Today everything is available in English, Urdu, Arabic, Persian, everything. So you show him this. So if still that person, you must remember, rejects it and says no, they're still Muslim, then he himself is out of the fold of Islam also. Mm. Understand that. Innakum idam mithluhum. Quran says that. So you also become just like them. Because we gave you all the evidence, we told you, you can go verify it with them. And if it's a Maulana, it's a Sheikh, it's an Imam, whatever you want to call him, Mufti, Qari, whatever, and he knows everything about the, regarding the Shias and so forth, and he says, no, that you can't say this, you can't say this. But we're showing him all this evidence, everything there. So then he also is, whatever his title means nothing, so he also is out of the fold of Islam. And if you want, for you, the public, if you want a great, great book, so if you know English or Urdu, it's called Tariqi Dastawiz. In Urdu, it's called Tariqi Dastawiz. And in English, it's called the Historical Documents. So I got it in Urdu and in English. Yeah, Darul Zakaria, they're selling it. You can go purchase and procure a copy from there. So all the references are written why the Shias are non-Muslim from their own books. Therefore, whenever Shias ask me question, I say, leave. I don't want to speak about our books. Our books you don't accept. Let's speak from your books. The first thing they say, oh, we love Ahlul Bayt. We love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That's how they speak. We say, if really you love him. So let's see. Now listen carefully. I give you three references. It is the year 61 after Hijrah. It's the year 61 after Hijrah. It's a Friday. It's 10th of Muharram. Ashura Day. The book's name is Al-Irshad. The author is Sheikh Mufid. So what Sheikh Irshad? Sheikh Irshad is Shia. Mm-hmm. And the book's name is Mufid. So Al-Irshad is the book's name and Sheikh Mufid. Mufid is the author. So you must remember that in there he writes that Inna al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam da'afdafa rafa yadayhi wa da'a ala shi'atihi. That is the text verbatim I'm quoting to you. That Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an on the Maidan of Karbala raised his hands and he cursed the Shias. He made dua against them. Why? He told them, you told me you're coming to help me, but now you're coming here and killing us? Imagine he said himself that these Shias murdered his own people, murdered the Ahlul Bayt. One. I'm giving you references, all Shia references, not our books. Then you must remember that him who, Sayyidina Zainul Abideen, that if you know Shia Azam, first they say Imam Ali, then Imam Hassan, then Imam Hussein, and thereafter is Imam Zainul Abideen, the fourth Imam. That's what they say. So it's all wrong, we reject it, but they all Sunnis, got nothing to do with Shias. So he, Hazrat Zainul Abideen, told them that innakum tadu, you call my father, and then khumma then you left my father and so forth. Tomorrow, bi'ayyi aynin tanzuruna ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That how will you see and face the master alayhi salatu salam? That and wa huwa yaqulu lakum. And he, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will be telling you the Shias. That what you did, that qataltum itrati. You murdered my grandson. And one tahaktum hurmati, you desecrated our exalted rank. Falastum min ummati, you don't belong to this ummat. Who's saying this? Hazrat Zainul Abidin. And you Shia say, the Imam, whatever he says, there is nothing anytime wrong. It's 100% right. So this 100% right, you Shias are not Muslims, you out. Mm. And it's your book there, Al-Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. The book's name, Ihtijaj, and we got all this, the references, everything. So you must remember that by Tabarasi. So Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu martyred, he is making dua against you and cursing you. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's son is Hazrat Zainul Abidin. He is telling you, you're going straight to Jahannam. You must remember that you're not Muslim. And it's all in your books. Then Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's beloved mother is Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Beloved father is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is Fatima Kubra. And the senior Fatima radiallahu anha. But the daughter is Fatima Sughra, the younger Fatima radiallahu anha. So she, what she said, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, Ya Ahl al-Ghadar wal-Waba. She said, you treacherous people. She, the daughter now of Sayyidina Hussein. You are the people, Allah Ta'ala is going to curse you. Today, Qataltum Abi, Kama Qataltum Jaddi Bil Ams. Yesterday, today you killed my father, like how previously you killed my grandfather, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh. And she cursed them and said, Tabbal lakum wa la'natullahi alaykum, Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you. Then these shaitan, these Shias, they started singing poetry. What they said, قَتَلْنَا عَلِيًّا وَبَنِي عَلِيِّ بِسُيُوفٍ هِنْدِيَّةٍ وَرِمَاحِ. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Ali, Allah forbid. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, and we used the swords and the spears made in India. And the book's name, Ihtijaj, the author, Tabarasi. Nothing to do with us, it's all your books. Now what you say? So by your own books, you are made kuffar and out of the fold of Islam. So therefore, every 10 Muharram come, they hit themselves. All this is the bad dua, the curse of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu on them. And Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's son and daughter said that they're out of the fold of Islam. So what we are saying is just endorsing that. So therefore, if you say Shia is a Muslim, then you also land up straight in Jahannam.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, that sister wants to know, this from KZN. She says that, Mufti Sahab, who is this Wifaqul Ulama? Are they authentic? Can we follow them, Ustaz? Anonymous sister.
Yes, you must remember last night, just before I was going to sleep, you know, that normally I come down and I lock up here everything, and then, so I saw on my phone, Alhamdulillah, so I was wondering what came through. So I saw a long list of ulama, Alhamdulillah, I know each one of them. So it's a new organization because of what has happened in the past 3 months, 6 months, and for years also. So this is a vote of no confidence, like, you know, in the previous ulama. So a new organization has come about, and mashallah, the darlooms, the principals, the khankas are all involved. Hazrat Muhammad Al-Amid sahab and Hazrat Muhammad Shabir sahab, and that side is Spingo Beach Mufti Ibrahim Saleji and Mohana Ghora Saleji, both of Spingo Beach, then Mufti Ibrahim Saleji of this thing, of Escort. And like that, many, many more, Yunus Daya here of Marlborough, mashallah. And you will find the senior ulama of South Africa. So yes, it's 100% authentic, remember that. And we hope, we make dua for them. Allah Jalla Wala use them for, Ameen, inshallah, for the protection of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And inshallah, we all know what their views are regarding Shias and so forth and so on. So yes, it is authentic. And one thing I'll say from my side, you, the young ulama, that this is a golden opportunity for you, that you should join, inshallah.
Ameen,
you must remember that, because the other day, Mohana Arafat got a message that you must join also. So I said, yes, you join, Maulana, very good. So you must remember this type of things here, that you should go and join up with the Wifaqul Ulama. And I see they got the escort address there. So mashallah, so you should try and contact them. And I don't have the details. You must remember that I was not invited to any of the meetings.
I see, by saying, what about Mufti Saab, Mufti AK?
Well, Mufti AK is an independent party. So you must remember that. So we independent party. So therefore, you just took the words out from my mouth. Mm-hmm. So you must remember, I didn't attend any meeting because I was not invited, first of all. So anyway, cut long story short, so we will say that you, the young ulama, that I'll encourage you, that is a very good opportunity that you join in life. You see, we were very fortunate. We had the shadow of Muhammad Qasim Sema and all of them, you know, for 20 years. So once you are there, you are the junior, but you learn so many things from the senior. So these are the senior ulama, yeah, mashallah, in South Africa. And Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib is there also. So many senior ulama, there are about 10 mentioned there, 10 or 11. So in that way there, mashallah, that you can get a lot of benefit and inshallah work with them and under their wing as well. So that is my advice to you.
I mean, as Shikari Sahib is asking, Ustad, wifaq kya mana hai, Ustad? Wifaqul, ji.
We in Pakistan mein wifaqul madaris, tawafuq ka matlab agreeing. So everybody will reach a mutual agreement, like you see, muwafiq. Aap Urdu mein kya kehte hain? Main aapse muwafiq hu. To ye wifaq bhi isi matlab hai. So inshallah usme ye nahi hai ke siyasat ki tarah ke wo ek is taraf aur ek us taraf, ke isme wifaq sab ke sab milkar jo hai phir faisla karenge inshallah.
Husain Aman, 10 and a half left inshallah our program throughout the day.
Yeah, inshallah, 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then after that will be Brother Alphas, and that will be the news, the current affairs. And 1 o'clock will be Zohar Azan. And thereafter, Surah An-Kabut, inshallah, we finish today. And inshallah, Al-Aziz, verses 67, Surah 29 is Surah An-Kabut, and verses 67, 68, 69. And thereafter, you must remember, from 1:30 to 2, we go to our archives. Yesterday, we started Surah An'am. So chapter number 6, and today will be verses 7 to 14, inshallah. And then the programs will continue. Remember, tonight is medical file, and that is with Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan. And remember, it's 2 hours nowadays, 8 to 10, very interesting, very intensive. So all of you should listen to it, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala reward all of you. Jazakallah khair to you, Mohan Arafat. Inshallah, our Brother Tobela will have the podcast ready, and then we will send it out to all of you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved senior fadilatul ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, hafidhahullah.